The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Text for the sermon this morning is that last verse, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, over the last number of months, on the occasion of our partaking of the Lord's Supper together, we've been considering the well-known words of Psalm 23. And this morning we conclude our consideration of the psalm by looking at verse 6. You recall that the theme of Psalm 23 was set forth in the opening verse. The precious truth of the gospel is that we belong to Jehovah God, that He is our shepherd, and we are His precious chosen sheep. And because we belong to Jehovah God, our shepherd, and are His sheep, that means then that we want or we lack nothing. All of our true essential needs are provided for by Him. The rest of the psalm goes on to elaborate upon that truth and to spell out in various ways how God provides for us and what are the things that we need that He supplies to us. In verse 2, we learn that Jehovah, our shepherd, provides for us rest, as He leads us to the green pastures and beside the still waters. In verse 3, we were taught that Jehovah, our shepherd, provides for us guidance as He leads us through this life on the paths of righteousness. In verse 4, we learned that Jehovah, our shepherd, provides us with comfort, with protection, as He leads us through the valley of the shadow of death and is always present with us. And in verse 5, we were taught that Jehovah, our shepherd, provides for us nourishment, spiritual nourishment, and not just the bare necessities, but an abundance. As He spreads a table before us and He anoints our head with oil and causes our cup to overflow. Throughout the psalm, there's described the goodness and the mercy of God towards us, His sheep. But perhaps at times in our lives, the question arises, will that goodness and that mercy continue to flow to me? Will it ever fail? Will I ever be cut off from it? Those doubts and fears especially may arise when we look at our life and we see all of our sins and all of our unfaithfulness to God. And in our life, one with another, we may adopt the attitude that we'll show goodness and mercy to another up to a certain point. And then when their sins and their failures have been too much, then we can't continue to show them goodness and mercy. And because perhaps we live that way with others, we begin to think, well, perhaps that's the way that God deals with me. That God looks upon me with all of my sin and all of my unfaithfulness, and He says, now it's too much. This is too far. And now at this point, because of all of your sins and your unfaithfulness, now the goodness and the mercy will be cut off. That's impossible. Perhaps that's how we may deal with one another, but that's not how God deals with us. His goodness and His mercy follow us all of the days of our life, so that we're never cut off from them and they never fail. And so sure are we of that, that we know with confidence His goodness and His mercy will follow us to the very end of our life and then usher us into our heavenly home with our Father. Let's consider this Word of God this morning under the theme, My Shepherd's Goodness and Mercy. First, let's consider the present pursuit. Secondly, the heavenly home. And then thirdly, the confident confession. In our text, we confess that God's goodness and His mercy follow us. First, God's goodness. God's goodness is one of His eternal attributes. God's goodness means that God Himself and His own being is the sum total of perfection. He is absolute, unspotted, unblemished excellence. And not only is that true of God in Himself, in His own being, that characterizes all that God does. God's ways may never be questioned. His will and His way is always right and good. Not only is God Himself good, but as supreme excellence and as the sum total of all that's perfect, God is also the fountain of all good. From Him flows to us, His people, His goodness. The goodness of God is something which He shows only to His chosen people in Jesus Christ. God does give good gifts, even to the wicked and to the unbelieving, but He doesn't give those good gifts of earthly things with His blessing and His favor and in a demonstration of His goodness to them. Psalm 73, verse 1. States that plainly. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. God's goodness to His people means that flowing from Him as ultimate perfection, there is the supply to us of all of our needs. Not only our earthly and physical needs, but especially our spiritual needs. So that as God's people, as the objects of His favor and His grace, we taste and we see of God's goodness to us. We're never wanting of what we truly need, but in His goodness, He supplies. First, there's His goodness. Then secondly, His mercy. God's mercy is another of His eternal attributes. And at its most basic, God's mercy refers to the fact that God in Himself wills or desires Himself to be eternally blessed and happy. And not only is this something that He wills or desires for Himself, but is ineffectual to carry out, His mercy means that this is eternally true of Him, that He is eternally blessed and happy. And the God who is mercy shows His mercy to us in Christ. God's mercy towards us means that this is His will or desire for us, that we be blessed and truly happy. And because we who are the objects of His mercy are miserable, guilt-stricken sinners, His mercy is His pity, His compassion upon us to lift us up out of that misery and to make us truly blessed and happy. God's mercy is His eternal desire and will to lift us up out of the misery and the filth of our sin and to make us truly blessed and happy with the blessings of salvation. And again, not only is it the case that God wills or desires this, but He's ineffectual to carry it out. It's not as if God wants to lift us up out of our misery, but He can't bring it to pass. God's mercy is not only His will or His desire, but it's the sovereign power by which He carries this out. He effectually lifts us up out of the misery that we've sunk ourselves into. And He makes us blessed and happy with the blessings of salvation. Supreme demonstration to us of God's mercy is His forgiveness of our sins. That's the heart of the gospel of grace to us, that God shows mercy to us. And in His mercy, He blots out and He forgives all of our transgressions against Him. There's a relationship between God's goodness and His mercy as that's set forth here in the text. And the way perhaps to see that connection is with a question. And the question is, how can God show His goodness to me who am an undeserving sinner? And the explanation for that is His mercy. The text could be understood and even translated that way. Goodness through mercy, or goodness because of mercy, shall follow me all the days of my life. In His mercy and His pity and His compassion upon us, He blesses us with all the blessings of salvation, lifting us up out of the misery of our sin. And being the objects of His mercy, we know and taste of His great goodness to us. God's goodness and His mercy to us was demonstrated supremely in the sending of His Son to suffer and to die for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. In His eternal love for us, offered Himself as a sacrifice at the cross to pay for our sins, and by His death we have life. We have all the blessings of salvation. In His suffering and His death for us, we see displayed the goodness and the mercy of God our Father towards us. And we know and are assured that we will continue to be the recipients of His goodness and His mercy for the sake of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has done for us. As we come to the table of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, in our partaking in faith, we taste and we see of God's goodness and His mercy to us. And the effect of our partaking is the strengthening of our confidence and assurance that we belong to Jesus Christ and that we are the objects of God's goodness and His mercy. The beauty of the Word of God here is not only that fact that God's goodness and His mercy is shown to us, but the beauty of the text is that that goodness and mercy follow us. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me, the Word of God says. The word follow there is a word that means to pursue, to chase after, and even to hunt down. The imagery of Psalm 23 is that of the shepherd with the sheep. You have the shepherd that's going before the flock, and the flock of sheep are following after him as he leads them forward in the way that they should go through the deep, dark valley to the green pastures and beside the still waters. And when the text speaks of goodness and mercy following or pursuing or chasing after, it's as if this shepherd with his flock of sheep has behind the flock two old, trusted sheepdogs. And these two old, trusted sheepdogs follow after the flock, pursue them, keep them together so that they continue to follow after the shepherd. God's goodness and His mercy are His two trusted sheepdogs. His goodness and His mercy, they're following the flock. And each individual sheep, they're pursuing after us always. And it's not as if the idea is they're pursuing after us and we're always eluding their grasp. His goodness and His mercy follow us, and His goodness and His mercy take a hold of us, and they're with us throughout our life here below. The truth of the gospel is that God's goodness follows us all the days of our life. In His goodness, He supplies to us our earthly needs. In His goodness, He supplies to us especially our spiritual need without fail. The truth of the gospel is that God's mercy follows us, pursues after us, is hard on our heels. In His mercy, which follows us, God forgives our sins. In His mercy, which follows us, God strengthens us in the battle against sin and temptation. In His mercy, which follows us, God has pity and compassion upon us in the struggles and the sufferings of earthly life. His goodness and His mercy follow us. They follow us, pursue after us, they're hard on our heels all the days of our life. They never fail. They never tire. We're never cut off or separated from the goodness and the mercy of our God to us. God's goodness and His mercy, they follow us when in spiritual weakness we forget about Him. His goodness and His mercy do not fail, but they follow us. God's mercy and His goodness follow us when we sin. When even for a time as a child of God we go astray and are impenitent for a time in sin. God's mercy and His goodness, they pursue after us to bring us back to Him, to the flock and the fold and the right way that we're to go. God's goodness and His mercy follow us into every dark and troubled day. God's goodness and His mercy follow us into the doctor's office when we receive a terrifying diagnosis. God's good mercy and His goodness, they follow us onto the operating table. God's goodness and His mercy pursue after us to the cemetery when we lay to rest a loved one. His goodness and His mercy pursue after us. In our struggles, our fears, our disappointments, His goodness and His mercy follow us as parents when we go into our wayward teenager's bedroom. His goodness and His mercy follow us in our daily callings in life with all of the stresses and the struggles that we face. His goodness and His mercy follows the mother as she's chasing after her little children to care for them. Day after day, moment after moment, in all of the bright days and all of the dark days, God's goodness and His mercy do not fail, but they follow us, pursue after us all the days of our life. So that we're preserved. We cannot fall away. We cannot be cut off from God's goodness and His mercy. We can't be the objects of His favor in one moment and lose that the next. It's not as if we know His rest, His guidance, His protection and comfort of us in the valley, His nourishment of us at one moment, only to lose all of that the next. His goodness and His mercy follow us all the days of our lives. So certain is that we know with confidence we will dwell in the home of our good shepherd forever. God's goodness and His mercy, they follow me all the days of my life, and that goodness and that mercy are preparing for me, and that goodness and mercy assure me that I have a home with God forever. That's the connection between the first and the second parts of our text. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Shepherd would take his sheep out of the home range in the springtime, lead them on the way by the quiet streams and through the green pastures, through the deep, dark valley, to the summer pasture ground. And then after they'd filled themselves there through the summer and the late summer and in the fall, He'd lead them back again and He'd bring them home where there was enough to provide for them throughout the winter, where they'd be protected and cared for. Our good shepherd leads us throughout this life, going before us to guide us in the way that we should go, with His goodness and His mercy pursuing hard after us. And He's leading us home. As Jesus says in John 14, verses 2 and 3, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And that is, and it ought to be, the great desire of our hearts. The great hope that we have in all of this life, it's finally to be home. And we know our own weakness. We know how carnal we are, that we're so attached to this world. Our desire is, well, eventually to go home to heaven, but not too quickly, because there's things that we want to do in this life. But our great hope and our great longing is and ought to be, and that more and more so, finally to be home with our God and our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And what makes that such a joy and a longing is exactly what the text says. It's home. And the idea that's conveyed there is the fellowship and the communion that we have with our God in heaven. A home is not a home unless there's love and there's fellowship there. It's just a house then. There's many things that we look forward to in heaven. Being delivered from all of our sins and our struggles with temptation. Being delivered from this broken body with all of its infirmities and all of the struggles and the hardships of earthly life. Being together with all of God's people, united without any division or animosity. There's much that we look forward to, but what is especially our longing is that we're home, where we truly belong. We're with our Father and with our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have fellowship with them, communion. We bask in friendship, in love, in His favor. And that, forever, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This life is fleeting. It's constantly changing. There's so many things that we're disappointed in. But we will dwell in the house of our God forever. On and on and on without any end and without any diminishing of its joy and its blessedness for us. We'll never come to the end of it and say, well, now we've seen it all and we've experienced it all and there's really nothing that delights us anymore. But our hearts forever and ever will be filled with rapture and joy as we dwell in the fellowship of our God and Father. Goodness and mercy, it follows us all of the days of our life. And we will dwell in the house of our God forever. It's something that we know and are assured of so that we confess it confidently. Two things from the text that indicate that. First of all, the text is a confession. We do not read here, surely goodness and mercy shall follow the chosen people of God, and the chosen people of God will dwell with Him forever, although that's certainly true. But the text is a confession that arises out of the heart of the individual child of God so that we say personally, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The other indication of confidence is the first word, surely. And in the original, that's a word of just two letters that would be very easy to just pass over or overlook. But that's a very important part of the text. The idea of the text is not, I will dwell in the house of the Lord and God's goodness and mercy, it'll follow me, I think, maybe, I hope so. Surely. Certainly. Without any doubt. God's goodness and mercy will follow me all of the days of my life. Surely. Certainly. Without any doubt, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That confidence is not, of course, based on anything in us. With all of our fickleness, changing attitudes and desires, with all of our unfaithfulness to God. We don't have this confidence because of who we are or what we've done or because of our faithfulness. But this confidence is grounded alone in the Lord Jesus Christ as its source eternally in who God is in Himself as the unchanging Jehovah. For the sake of Jesus Christ, we know and are sure God's goodness and His mercy will follow me. Though I don't deserve it, and though I go astray, and though I am unfaithful, God is faithful. And surely I will dwell with God forever, not because of who I am or what I've done, but for the sake of Christ and His death and resurrection, who's opened up the way for me, and who now prepares for me a place in glory. This is our confidence as believers. Know this, be assured of this. God's goodness and His mercy will follow you all of the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That confidence of faith is strengthened, confirmed by the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. That's the outstanding purpose of God in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, is to strengthen our confidence and assurance and to remove our doubts and fears. And so we come to the table of the Lord this morning in faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, and knowing that for the sake of Jesus Christ, God's goodness and His mercy follow us all of the days of our life. And the effect of our partaking is that we leave God's house strengthened in our confidence, strengthened in the confidence that belonging to Jesus Christ, I know God's goodness and mercy will not fail. We thank Thee for Thy Word. Apply that to our hearts by Thy Spirit. Strengthen us in confidence. Give us good hope. Grant us Thy blessing also as we partake of the Holy Supper of our Lord, that through our partaking, our faith and confidence is further strengthened and confirmed. Receive us for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's turn now to the form for the administration of the supper, found in the back of our psalters on page 91. The consistory has granted permission to the following individuals to partake of the supper with us this morning: Doug and Michelle Halsteg from Georgetown PR.
We pray that you were edified by the preaching of the gospel today. Please join us for worship if you are ever in the area. For more information about our church, beliefs, or worship times, please visit our website at prccrete.org.